Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
All right, good morning, folks. Rich Kasson over here for another exciting episode of Buckhead Business Radio X. We're in our beautiful studios right overlooking the amazing million-dollar view of Buckhead. Good thing they didn't charge us that rate order, right? But we have just an amazing lineup of guests here this morning. We have a great panel, some interesting stories. We have several people actually in the food business or food-related business, because it's actually kind of a bit of a beta test, or we're in the works of a new show for Business Radio X with a working title, Georgia Food and Beverage Radio. So we're looking for underwriters. We're going to do a couple of special episodes in the next couple of months and kind of pilot shows for Georgia Food and Beverage Radio. So we're excited to kind of have some of those folks here in the studio. And we'll introduce those ladies and gentlemen as we get around to the table. But first up, it's my honor to introduce Craig Williams. And Craig's going to be joining us as our guest co-host for this is your second return visit, right?
Yes, yeah, co-host, yeah. I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. First time as a guest, and pretty soon you'll be owning the studio by next month. So, so what have you been up to since last time we chatted?
Yeah, my partner and I, Neil, business partner, that is. Neil and I are still in syndicated media and global authority agency, just growing with leaps and bounds.
And if do you have a practice your elevator pitch, or what is that for someone who's never heard of that? What you basically help position people in places of authority?
Basically, we build their credibility, position them with authority in the media.
In their niche.
In their niche.
Specialty. Yeah.
Basically, we like to leverage the uniqueness of the individual. So we're not after brands, organizations, associations, or business per se. We're interested in the soul of the individual.
So you're looking to take Rich Kasson to the next level.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So, and then how would folks get in touch with y'all?
Check out the authoritymarketingconsultant.com.
Okay.
And I think there's enough information there to get started. Yeah.
And everything they need to know. And otherwise,
pretty much. A nice little video, little cartoon.
If they have more questions, they can send you a letter in the mail or telegraph or
if they like. I'll even put my number out there.
Nice,
but
nice.
Actually, my number and all the contact information is there at theauthoritymarketingconsultant.com.
Cool. And it'll be on our site after the broadcast as well. All right. So, Craig, why don't you go ahead and introduce our first guest here in the studio, and let's learn about them and their story.
Yep. Actually, we have Roy and John. They're not a couple, but Roy Brostrand and John Pollock, business partners. Roy, I've known for a little while, sometime anyways. He's got a great story, but Roy's in the food truck business. He's been in the food industry for a number of years, decades, right?
Yes.
Just to start off, why food trucks?
Well, it's a whole new industry. It's a whole new paradigm shift, I think, as to how you deliver food. There's been a lot of controversy with it. From the standpoint that there's a lot of restaurants who feel as though we're infringing on an area that may be close to them. But the food truck business, because of what's happening overall globally with mobility as well as mobile. Mobile with the apps that are available today, with social media. We've put together a program where now we deliver food by way of truck. A food truck, which has the same quality as you find in a restaurant. And we saw the opportunity to move on this. And so I hooked up with John and the Philly Connection. I had been out of the Philly Connection for a while and got back with them. And they saw the value of this, of adding to their brick and mortars, as well as going out and creating a whole new franchise just with food trucks.
Weren't you one of the original founders of Philly?
Yes. Back in the 79 and 80s, I opened up a store in New Jersey, learned the business. That's where I met John. John and I moved down to Atlanta. Actually, John moved over to California for a short period of time, helped my brother get started over there while we got our first store operating in the Cumberland Festival area. And that store is still operating. And John and his partner took the Philly Connection to a whole new level after they purchased my shares and But yes, I was one of the original founders, and John and I got our first store going off in over by the Galleria area in Atlanta, and now we're in the food truck business.
Yep, I used to know exactly where all of those locations were, thanks to Creative Loafing.
But also, it doesn't show on you, Craig. You hold it well with all the extra protein that you have in your pocket.
Well, that was 20 years ago.
Okay. So,
and he rode his bike to every
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay, good. You're a good testimonial.
Thank you. The other thing, I was thinking that would be more of a plus for the brick and mortars because it's more of a brand extension, a mobile brand extension of the restaurant business, reminding people of, I mean, if you got good food and you got great service and a good environment, why would the brick and mortars be as concerned? I understand them being able to be mobile, the mobile trucks, but, you know, it should enlighten them too, because some of your mobile food trucks now have brick and mortars now.
Yeah, and that's almost like an excellent point. Yeah. And we're finding out that the food trucks really do enhance the brick and mortars. It gives them basically a moving billboard through the city.
Most definitely.
In smaller cities and smaller metropolitan areas, a lot of people may not even know there's a Philly connection in the area. But when they start seeing the food truck traveling around through the town, then many times they ask, where is the store?
Most definitely.
And, yes, it really does enhance the brick and mortar.
And so I guess it was a natural progression for you to, I mean, because you've been in the food industry even when you left Philly. You were still a consultant and a little bit part of the energy that's behind a lot of the other food trucks in the local area
Yeah, we actually I got started into the food truck business almost 5 years ago. Not necessarily food trucks, but with mobile units to serve food. And it was right around that same time that the California scene started with the food trucks, the Koji truck and so on. And social media was becoming very popular at that time. And a quick little story, I don't know if we have time, but the Koji truck was dying on the street in California until Twitter came along. And then NBC picked that program up with what Koji truck was doing. And they also did a story on Twitter at the same time. And all of a sudden, overnight, that Koji truck that was dying on the street became the most popular place to eat in Los Angeles.
Because of NBC?
The NBC Today Show, they did a, you know how the, well, golly,
oh,
how,
wow.
We're feeding right into that, aren't we?
Interesting.
Yeah, it's good. But anyway, I went from the trailers to the trucks and saw what was happening with the food truck industry, and we decided to start franchising.
Awesome.
So, what I know of your story, so as a co-founder, so is a franchisee allowed the opportunity to both bricks and mortar and a food truck, or John?
Yes. For those of us been in the restaurant business for many years, the time that it takes to put the efforts in to run your restaurant day in, day out, will allow for the brick and mortars to be more flexible in theirs, but the big thrust will be individual franchisees that purchase a food truck franchise. The flexibility is a big part of the attraction to the food truck, where folks will be able to work hard for maybe a few months and then maybe take a month off. We have a franchisee last year that decided to take 3 months off during the winter, and it just allows a lot of flexibility. And helps in their, you know, in their golf score when they
Nice. So they can really do either or a combination of,
absolutely,
right?
It's
really,
absolutely.
And so it's really the trifecta, and then also the ability, if they have the bricks and mortar, then the food truck can really be an extension or their catering division, right? So they can take it on site, on location. And like you were saying, like Roy was saying, is like now you not only the billboard, but you have like a food tasting that people are actually paying money for instead of handing out samples. And you know, but I think, you know, but in terms of, I don't want to get into too much of the minutia here, but in terms of territory, I mean, does that get a challenge or whatever?
Really not. There are so many. You take when I say the metropolitan Atlanta area, there are so many events that we can't even get to because we are scheduled out months in advance. And then the other big thing that people don't realize about food trucks is, about 75% of the events we do are private events.
Okay.
Where they're, you know, we do some
the festivals,
you know, festivals,
whatever.
But most of it is corporations, families. We've done food truck weddings.
really nice.
So there is
welcome to the South. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of flexibility and there's a lot of opportunity for this industry.
Okay, and I don't know, you can pass or play on this question here, but I'm just kind of curious as a listener, observer, like, is there a ballpark range? I mean, what might somebody expect to pay, you know, for a food truck operation? Or, I mean, if you don't want to disclose that, that's
no, absolutely.
Fine, too.
A truck fully equipped, we're looking at we learned a lot, and Roy learned a lot from the early days of food trucks, where folks were slapping trucks together.
Yeah.
And they were breaking down all the time and all this. We have a proprietary design engineered for long-term. So to build out a truck to fully nuts to bolts is with the kitchen inside, grills, hoods, all that is $85,000.
Okay.
And then you have some soft costs. But we're looking at a total package of around $100,000.
Wow. I mean, for a business of that has that potential and that flexibility, that's not a bad entry. It's all turnkey and done for you, right? Yeah.
Yeah. If I can add to that, you know, one of the reasons we're franchising with this is because we found that most people get into a food truck environment or want to do their own food truck, they know nothing about it. Number one, and it takes them a year to two by the hard way to find out, you know, how to really run that truck. When they get on board with us, we actually have the manuals. We teach them from the beginning to the end of how to get in business with that food truck, as well as the finding events and so on.
Right. Well, you're talking to the guys that didn't invent the cheese steak, but right, but made it better, kind of thing, right? Yeah.
Well, it turned out, I think, I don't know if I mentioned the name, but Steak Shapiro was, Steak was his last name? Shapiro, right.
Yeah.
Steak, I met him, known him for a while, and he said, you know, the cheesesteak sandwich is probably one of the best sandwiches to sell on the food truck. And he's right. Huh. Very good.
So now I'm getting hungry all of a sudden, and I don't see a truck out the window. So, John, if you want to go ahead and pull it around or whatever, yeah.
We're tied up at some events.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Right. Oh, sure, yeah. So kind of finish up if there's any other comments, but what do you project the expansion, I guess, or how many, you know, food trucks, or is it, and are you starting here in the South, or what's the, you know, what's the
absolutely,
short
yeah.
term?
Southeast, we'd like to have 25 trucks by the end of 2015. We have a great website if people want to check it out at Philly Connection, foodtrucks.com. There's a lot of information on there and a way to contact us to move on if they're interested in a franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's food trucks plural, right? Not
yes.
just one truck, yeah.
Well, that's good you said that. We have a franchisee that's building a brick and mortar right now and is also doing two food trucks at the same time.
So, wow.
It's a good combination for him.
Where is he located? What part of the
city? He is in just near Disney in Orlando area.
Yeah, game over. Yeah. I was that close to buying that territory. Well, off the air we were going to talk, but well, you know.
Well, it'd be worth the ride.
Yeah. Most definitely. Craig, any other closing comments for these gentlemen here?
Not exactly. I almost pretty much feel I know the future of the food truck industry. And you know, I mean, if once they have a food truck show on the Food Channel, then it's a wrap anyways, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's definitely taken off. We have another gentleman here we're going to be talking to, and also in the restaurant business. And I've heard recently a lot of times it's a good entry point to kind of test out food concepts or whatever, you know, in that environment. So we'll thank you all for being here, Roy and John. It was a pleasure, and hope you'll stick around. Maybe we'll have some additional thoughts come up during the show as well.
So thank
you for being here. Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And up next we have Madison James joining us in the studio. Good morning, Madison.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing good.
Nice.
Doing good.
Well, excited to have you here. There's been some communication to get you in the studio. I know you have a kind of a busy schedule. I'm not even sure where to begin with your bio, but I know you've Division I collegiate athlete, right?
Yeah, many, many moons ago.
Right.
I'm feeling it right now. Don't recover quite as quickly as I used to.
Right. And now you've teamed up, we're going to talk about two specific areas, but just kind of touch on some other things you're involved in as with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, right?
Yes.
You do a blog and a weekly segment.
Yes, I have a weekly Mad About Fitness blog,
right.
Playing off my name, Madison,
yeah, yeah.
Mad About Fitness. just getting around and showing how people here in Atlanta are really looking to changed their lifestyle and changed their life, and I've been given that outlet. So it's my way to kind of give back and just to teach people. My goal is, you know, small changes turn into big changes.
True.
Because when it comes to fitness, everybody wants that quick weight loss. They want that quick, you know, that quick answer. And my message is, it doesn't happen overnight. It didn't happen for me overnight, and it's not going to happen for you overnight. So I try to make it easy for those to get into it.
And doing a little work yesterday before the show, I actually went to your blog or to the site, and I saw your video, and you're just
Did you do
like,
the workout?
Yeah, well, in the studio, in my mind.
Virtual workout.
There you go, a virtual workout. That's yeah.
Hey, maybe that's the next thing right there.
Oh, big time.
There
you go. Sign me up for that one or whatever, yeah.
I agree with that.
But no, it was you definitely know your stuff as a fitness trainer, you know. So I obviously coaching people.
Yeah, and I'm a national competitor, and I'm actually getting ready for a show in Pittsburgh.
Wow!
So we're 6 weeks out.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah.
You can pick up some cheesesteak sandwiches while you're up there.
Exactly. I'll see you guys on the 31st.
Right after.
But we want to talk on two topics. But first, you're also your afternoon drive personality at Atlanta's B98.5 FM, right? Mm-hmm. So how's that working out for you? Dr. Phil would say, yeah.
No, that's working out wonderful. And I'm glad to be here in the Atlanta area and to do what I love to do. And that's provided a lot of outlets for me to get my message across. So I'm grateful to be working for a company that sees that and allows me to have those outlets.
Yeah, radio is fun, right?
It is. I haven't worked a day in my life yet. Right, yeah. Going on 13 years. So
So today we're going to talk about kind of zeroing in on some topics. I know you're very involved in the Atlanta Beltline. Talk to us about that.
Yes, yeah. I'm very excited about that. Moving here and looking for ways for people to get active. Everyone does not have access to a gym and does not have the financial means to do a gym membership. Right. And then some people just don't like to be in the gym. Nothing wrong with that. You can still be active and not be in the gym. Yeah. So I saw that as an opportunity to partner up with Atlanta Beltline, and I've done two things with them already. The first one was a Beltline tour, so it was a bicycle tour. You could do 16 miles, or you could
how
do
many?
The 16.
6-0?
Yeah, 16 miles for a partial tour, and you can do the whole 30 miles to see the whole full loop and what areas they're going to next. So that, for the first time, sold out. So it was 500 people that were there for the biking.
That's awesome.
So that was a lot of fun. So they're really excited about that. And
when's the next one or what?
It'll be next year. So they're going to open it up. So there'll be more room.
Absolutely.
They were really excited about that because it's never sold out before. So I rode with them, and it was a lot of fun. And we just did the Southwest Beltline 5K, and that doubled. So there was 500 people there for that to show the new area. So that was a lot of fun too. And I ride over there all the time. So that's the next area that they're going to.
And you just been recently official title the actual fitness face of the Atlanta Beltline.
Yeah. Yes,
well,
and they have some.
It definitely fits, right, Craig?
Yeah.
I'm on the Beltline all the time, and they actually have something that's coming up this week. And things that people are not aware of that are free to the public, you can walk and talk with a cardiologist. So you're going to walk the Beltline. You can do that. Ask whatever questions you want to. They also have walk with a nutritionist, things like that. Also, how to ride a bike for an adult, because some of us are looking to get into bike riding and haven't done it since we were like six, and it's difficult. And they have events like that, plus yoga, and all these things are free. So you can go to beltline.org. and see all the full schedule for the whole entire month. So it's really cool, really cool.
So it's just Beltline.org?
Yes, Beltline.org.
And the mayor is a big proponent of this, right?
Oh, yes. Right? Because, I mean, this is one big thing that a lot of cities are not doing. So Atlanta is kind of like the staple of doing the Beltline and showing people how to get active and bringing it into the city, because nothing's really been done like this before. So it's cool.
There's people, from what I understand, I was at a Buckhead Business Association meeting, and they had the gentleman, the CEO of the Beltline. I'm trying to think.
Founder. He wrote the thesis.
Well, that was at Atlanta Tech or whatever, but this guy is now the president CEO of the Beltline. But he was it was an amazing presentation, and it's like kind of the blueprint that a lot of cities are coming from all over the country.
Oh, yes.
Most definitely. Connecting all the other little townships.
And connecting the neighborhoods. And actually the cool thing about it, they're going into neighborhoods and revitalizing neighborhoods. That's what's really, really interesting in how they're connecting all the parks together and kind of giving back. And it gives people a sense of, okay, they care about my neighborhood, because some areas have been neglected and they're going back in there and kind of bringing them back up, give that local feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Madison, I just want to start with your name. I mean, Madison James, or okay. James Madison.
Tell
me a little bit about that.
I mean, Google it,
that's powerful right there. Madison James.
Yeah, I was
James
Googling Madison yesterday, and everything came up, the president or whatever.
I mean,
James Madison.
I kind of feel like a president. Yeah. No.
Oh, the Beltline. Health and fitness.
Congratulations. You just got a promotion or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. If it worked for him back in the day on a horse, it should work for me, right?
Definitely.
Right.
So, and your connection with Kind Bars. Tell me a little bit about that.
Kind Bars, unlike a lot of other things in the, I'm going to say health industry, everyone wants to be healthy, and that's really great that a lot of businesses are getting into that. But sometimes those that don't know that much about it just assume by reading the package, oh, I'm eating this because it's healthy. And then you flip it over, and I'm like, you could have had a Snickers bar. It's really, I know you're trying. But with Kind Snacks, the good thing about Kind is, oh, it's really good. They give back to the community, and they're about doing kind acts for others. So really big about that. And it is a local situation that was grown out. And the cool thing about Kind, if you look on the back of one of the bars that you have, which one do you have?
I've got the dark chocolate, nuts, and sea salt.
It's so it
looks good.
It's
is this a local company as well?
Thank you.
Is this a local company?
No, it's not local. But the cool thing about all the bars is on the back, you can read the ingredients. You can pronounce every thing that is in that bar. And sometimes when you're wanting something sweet, like a Snickers bar, nothing wrong with Snickers bar, that candy bar that you're craving, this right here has 5 grams of sugar in it. So it's a great alternative for a snack.
You get your fiber and your protein.
Yes, as a snack. Now, you can't eat 5 or 6 of these now, but it's great to kind of throw in for a snack.
And if our listeners are just wondering what all this noise is about, she brought samples.
We're fighting for them.
Right, exactly.
You should try them. They're really, really great.
She brought samples for everybody.
A great presentation. You can actually see the bar.
You can see what's in it. There's nothing hidden about it. And my favorite is the dark chocolate with the hint of sea salt. You can also do the
Hennessy salt?
No.
Hint of sea salt. And they have some other great things.
Everything on the bar you can pronounce, right? Yeah.
Yes. That's not on there.
Unless he's reading it.
But they have the caramel almond sea salt. So if you're looking for that salty, sweet kind of deal that always satisfies everyone, it's a really great deal to do. And if you're traveling a lot, like some of you business guys are in here, that will not melt. That will hold through, so you don't have to worry about, I think about these things. if you're on a plane or something like that, you don't have to, did this just melt in my pocket or anything like that? You don't have to worry about that. And it's great, too, for when I go on long rides with the bike, the 40-mile rides and things like that. Those are, I saw your eyebrows go up. those are really great to fuel yourself with, too. You can give them to the kids, and it's something healthy for the kids to eat, and they don't know any different. They don't.
Gotcha.
Adults don't either.
It sounds like you teamed up with Mr. Wonderful. I think she's getting royalties on every bar she sells here. Yeah. Well, I just love to educate people
because they think healthy bars taste gross.
Well, because actually in our studio, as opposed to the other studios, they have like all the candies and everything else. I've put relatively healthy snacks in here.
Oh, you do. Tic Tacs, all that.
The bars are relatively healthy. I tried to get like 7 grams.
That is true.
They're like 7, but these are 5 grams. And being that you're here, I think we can convert the studio over to
Kind Bars. That would be so awesome. And
we got to eat up all these first.
But if you're looking to find different things for you, you can get them here. If you're in the area, you can go to Kroger. You can go to Whole Foods.
Yeah, I was
Target.
Target, REI.
That's where I saw it because I knew you're going to be on the air, and I've heard a little bit about Kind Bars. And I was there the other day, and I thought, oh, there it is, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
or you can go to their website, kindsnacks.com. Yeah, yeah. But they do granolas and all sorts of kind of things. So I put that stuff in my oatmeal. I take it everywhere.
So what's next for Madison James?
What is next for Madison? Oh, my goodness. So much stuff is going on. I'm going to be meeting with the Beltline to talk about some future things that I'll be doing with them. And then also, like I said, just teaming up with Kind and getting ready for this show, since I'm a national figure competitor. So they're like 6 shows a year. So we fly out throughout the country. So I will be.
This is like Motivation or something? One of those types of things? Are you going to be on American Ninja or something?
No. Nice. And the chick finished that.
Yes, I know, big time. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Former gymnast.
Put us to shame.
But I just kind of like to stay going, and it sparks a competitive drive with me, because you push yourself to the limit when you are being a figure competitor. Nothing wrong with other sports, but for me, that's what fuels me. So it's a lot of discipline and 6 weeks. You know,
we had Terry Moss, I think is her name, the founder of Buckhead Fight Club. I don't know if you've been over there, or that looks like intense training at that facility, but you might want to check that out. Add that to your routine when you're
I am all about trying to find different ways to be active, because you can get bored. Yeah. And when you're bored, you don't want to do it anymore.
They might want to team up with something with the Beltline. I mean, that's a...
Yeah.
Well, walk with a fighter on the Beltline, yeah.
No, that's another story right there, that food truck thing. So what advice would you have for somebody who's interested in, you know, following in your footsteps or going into, you know, a quick weight loss or...
Broadcast journalism.
Well, if you're looking to get into to broadcast or communications, because it's so broad... And there are some interns actually right now that are coming through. And anytime I get a chance to speak to young individuals, I'm very honest about anything that I do. But everyone wants to be on the other side. They want to be behind the mic, or they want to be in front of the camera. And that might be a long time before that happens. So I'm not trying to discourage anyone, but you really, really, really have to have a lot of drive and do things that necessarily you don't want to do. You may be events that you're not paid to be at. But everyone pretty much has started from the bottom, and they've made it to the top. So once you get there, you understand everything that's going around it, and you can appreciate it. And you're not, for me, if I'm at an event and if the promotions person needs help putting up a tent, I know how to do that. Yeah. So I'm not just standing there like, oh, you need help.
Yeah. Madison, she's like the talent, whatever, with air quotation marks.
But no, but sometimes the
people, that you do have that attitude with some people, and it's like, I can't do anything, whatever, right? But so you're speaking of television, you just debuted as a correspondent for WSB TV. That's crazy, yeah.
You got to do a lot of things in this business, in any business, really. I can be seen on WSB TV for Hot Topics. So I just will be taping on a Thursday, and that airs in Charlotte and Orlando in here. So
yeah, I think there's a story. You need to cover the food truck happening
in
Orlando, right?
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we just got our approval and stamp for we're now 92% lean steak. So compare that with your burger guy. And
there you go.
Now,
nice.
I have a question for you all. Do you do like... chicken? Is that
absolutely
a bad word to say?
Yeah,
because I could tear up a chicken Philly.
Yeah, we have our own proprietary grilled chicken strips with our own marinade.
Okay.
How about gluten-free? Gluten-free bread.
Gluten-free chicken. Yeah.
You're going to love. Actually, our bread is our proprietary product. And again, we do no added sugars in those. A roll is about 110 calories.
Nice.
And no preservatives.
Awesome. Wow. So Craig, I'm just feeling healthy just being on this show. Right? Yeah. So Madison, tell our listeners what's the best way to reach out and get in touch with you.
The best way to reach out to me, you can follow me throughout my daily routine. You can follow me on Twitter, Madison James. I post fit tips up there. Also post links to my video and just give my day-to-day. I actually have a video posted on Instagram, which you can find Madison James 404, of me actually working out, to show I really do work out.
Right.
And you can keep track of what's going on with that. And then my blog on the AJC, just go to AJC.com and click under health, and you'll see Mad About Fitness.
Now you've just added Business Radio X to your resume.
Yeah. I know. I'm excited.
Outstanding.
So Craig, who else do we have?
We have Mike else? Rose, formerly Mikey Rose. You still go by Mikey?
Thanks for bringing that up.
Come on, man. I remember those days back in the 90s.
Yeah, right? That's when I was somebody.
You're still somebody.
Here I am now. So thanks.
Still
thanks
somebody.
Change. I am. I'm bigger now than I was then.
So tell us
at least
about
in weight. But anyway,
tell us about the Starkey real estate venture that.
Well, here's what happened. I was in radio for many years, and back in 2003, I bought this nice new house in Buckhead, had a baby on the way, and I was told that my contract would not be renewed, and I was out of radio. So at that point, I had a buddy who was in the mortgage business. And I saw a lot of people who were complete idiots making a lot of money in the mortgage business. I figured, hey, I'm a complete idiot. I could do that too. So that's how I got into the mortgage business. At the time, I don't know if I could even spell the word mortgage. I had mortgages, but that's about all I knew. So I got into the mortgage business, and since 2003, I've worked for first RBC Bank, then Bank of America, and then after that, Wells Fargo most recently. Now, I just joined Starkey Mortgage because basically I got sick and tired of working for the big banks. The big banks tend to have there are a lot of good purposes for big banks, and I know we're pro-business on this show.
Yeah.
So
yes.
we'll
stay
Be
careful.
That.
Don't trash anybody. So,
they have nice buildings.
But let's put it this way. Customer service isn't always what it should be, and what I wanted to do was go to a smaller lender that had a more diversity in loan product that had less red tape for the customer and also a little less stress for me because I got tired of apologizing for things all the time. So this is Starkey Mortgage. I do home purchases, refinances. We're primarily driven by home purchases. We have a lot of relationships with realtors, builders in the area. But any kind of home loan, we have all the loan products that you'll find at the big banks and more.
How difficult is it to get a home loan these days?
That's a great question. It is definitely more difficult now than it was 5 years ago because 5 years ago, just about anybody could have gotten a home loan. And a lot of this is good because we do need to have tighter restrictions on who gets a home loan. Some of it is a little crazy and over the top, and I hope to see a little this pendulum swing back a little bit. But in general, if you are you have good credit and you have a nice down payment, and you you can document your income, you can prove the money you make, and you can have assets that you can actually prove, you can still get a home loan, and it's not that difficult. It's the problem comes in if you don't have the good credit and you don't have the assets, and maybe you shouldn't be buying a home in that case.
Yeah, so good credit sounds like a broad statement. Mm-hmm. A relative statement.
Sure.
I mean, if you were like a 400 and you're 415, that's good, right?
Comparatively.
Well, so what's really good?
Credit score is something that is devised by the credit reporting bureaus. And basically, here's the thing about credit that most people don't know. Here's the trick. Credit is about having the most amount of credit available to you and using the least amount of it. And that sounded kind of counterintuitive for most folks because what happens is people pay off a credit card, then they close it. No, no, no.
Yeah.
That drops your credit score. So that's what it's about. It's also obviously about paying your bills on time. That's important. And how long you've had those different credit lines. That's all part of the equation as well.
Are you seeing a lot of people still upside down, as they would say, with their homes and when you run into those individuals, what do you suggest they do?
Unfortunately, that's still true in a lot of areas. I would say in parts of Atlanta like Buckhead and Midtown and north of Atlanta, you're seeing a lot of those property values are really coming back now.
Good.
You're seeing a big improvement there. South of I-20, not so much. There's still a lot of issues in many parts of town with property values. I mean, you got to think people bought houses in 2006, 2007. They paid $150,000 for it. Now some of them are worth $30,000 and $40,000. Wow. So that's a huge drop. Now, as far as help for people like that, there are some government programs that help people in that situation refinance, even if you're upside down. One is called HARP. Also, if you have an FHA loan, you can refinance it without having an appraisal. The same is true also with VA. Every loan is different. You may not qualify from one of those programs, but there are options available. And if you haven't pursued them before, you should definitely do that while rates are still low.
Who would you say was responsible for the mortgage crisis, since we've stopped talking about banks earlier? So,
be careful here. You are being recorded.
This is the big controversy, and I will tell you for a fact right now the answer to that question. So you can ignore everything else you've ever heard in this subject. I'll tell you the complete truth on it. We were all responsible for it.
I agree. That's a good answer.
So it wasn't just Craig and I that we're all.
Well, what typically happens is a lot of people get blamed for political reasons. Yeah. The left blames the right. The right blames the left. The government blames the banks. The banks blame the government. The reality is that we were all in it, including me. I was there. I was making a lot of money during that time. Yeah. I didn't complain that much, as long as I was making money. I mean, I did ask questions like, what are these people going to do when the rates start kicking up again? Yeah. And said, don't worry about that. They'll just refinance it. No, they couldn't do it because the values of properties dropped so much. We saw in the entire economy crash at that point. But basically, you know, the Bush administration had a philosophy at the time and with good intention, which is they wanted every American to have a home, that 100% home ownership. But the cost of that was putting a lot of people in homes that really weren't ready for home ownership. And I think the important lesson that we've learned is that not everybody should have a home if they're not ready for it. And it's in their best interest not to get on. There's nothing wrong with renting. There is nothing wrong with renting.
Not at all.
No, I agree. It's like I think we were all kind of, you know, I had a house out in California at the time, and it was just like I just saw it just like skyrocketing. And you're like, in the back of your mind, you're just thinking there's something, you know, but you weren't going to raise your hand or whatever, right? You know,
right.
It's like something's, you know, it's just not, this is too good to be true kind of thing.
And
right?
It was.
And absolutely.
And it
yeah.
was.
And
I mean, they said the same thing in Florida, Nevada, California. Housing prices jumped through the roof. A lot of people, if they cashed out at the right time, they made a lot of money off of it.
Yeah.
If you didn't cash out, you were really out of luck.
I was probably more in the latter, but yeah. So now talk about the housing market right here locally in Atlanta, Buckhead. Tell us some good news.
Oh, my goodness. You know, yeah. I mean, Buckhead, I specifically, is the hottest market in the area. And if anything, in Buckhead, the problem is there's not enough inventory to go around. People want to buy houses. They can't find them here. Everybody wants to live close in. And Buckhead, there's so much to do. There's so much activities. The elementary schools are really good here. There's a lot of good selling points for Buckhead.
And the radio station,
that's
a big draw. Right.
Right. I think Buckhead Business Radio may be the biggest part of that. But I would also say the hottest market in Buckhead right now is the condo market.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
yeah.
unbelievable. I mean, I was doing loans for people a few years ago for little condos that were selling for $100, $150, now selling for $304.
Right.
Just crazy appreciation going on in the condo market.
I think I read something in Atlanta Business Chronicle the other day that they just signed a deal with Lennox to put a massive high-rise condos or apartments just built kind of piggybacking on the structure.
Well, they're going to have to do more building in Buckhead, and there will be because there is a huge demand for housing in Buckhead right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our listeners, business people, sole entrepreneurs, are just in business for themselves or self-employed. You know, what's the outlook for them, or what's the opportunity for them to get homes? Or
self-employed people has been a little bit of a challenge,
right?
Because back in the day, we used to have something called stated income loans. That means that you just tell us how much money you make, and we'd go by that. Well, that didn't turn out so well. So,
right.
So what happened was, what happens, most Americans who are self-employed, they want to avoid paying as much taxes as possible. So they tend to write off everything or as much as they can.
Right.
But what happens is when they go about getting a home loan, we look at specifically what is on their income tax return as far as income after you've written everything off, and we average that for 2 years. Well, if your business grosses $500,000, say, last year, and you only claim a $15,000 income, or many people actually claim a loss, there's no way you can get a home loan unless you have a spouse who has a W-2 job. So that is a real challenge, and there are some new creative products that kind of are in development to try to address that issue, some products that will allow you to use a portion of your assets to count that towards income. But those things are just in the beginning stages. We have some of that where I'm at Starkey right now. The big banks haven't gone there yet, but I think that's kind of the wave of the future, because you run into somebody, well, maybe they didn't claim any income last year, but they have $10 million in accounts. That person can't get a home loan. That's not right, and that's not fair. There's got to be a way to do that, and we're moving in that direction now.
Can the company buy the house, and then you pay rent to your company? Or
well, you can pay cash for the house if you want to. And
through the company?
The company can pay cash for a house, but the problem is if a company buys a house, they got to get a commercial loan, which is a whole nother ball game, which is challenging to get these days. So I find, and this has happened to me before with self-employed people, especially when I was working at the bank, we asked them for so much documentation, so much information, they'd said, the heck with this, I'm just going to pay cash for it, see you guys later.
Yeah. Right.
And so, and that makes sense. So we're starting to see some movement in that direction, and I think there needs to be, because the way the tax system in this country is so screwed up that people shouldn't have to pay taxes if they don't, if it's not legitimate. I mean, as long as their income taxes are legitimate and they're writing everything off, but they still can afford to make these payments, there's got to be some leeway on that issue. And we're moving towards it, and hopefully we'll see more of that.
Good, good.
I tried to pay cash from my mobile home, and I was declined. I didn't understand that. It's like cash, right? What I just thought of an idea. You talk about having your company buy the house and rent it back. What about we could do crowdfunding, right? I would get my mortgage on crowdfunding. Anyone? Yeah, I've seen some nods of the heads, whatever.
So yeah, you go into a neighborhood and say, do you like me? What do you all think? Can we do
money,
something together?
Exactly. Just go to my crowdfunding website, Kickstarter, exactly. Whatever. Get me in a home now, you know. But I got some head nodding. So you heard it here live. So, you know, yeah, first. Yeah, so
I'm learning something today.
Steal that
this
idea.
Is good. This
right?
is
yeah.
good stuff.
We're all taking great notes. So, so Mike, tell us, our listeners, what's the best way to get back in touch and reach out to you?
Well, I have a website you can go to. It has all my contact information. It's pretty simple. It's MikeRoseMortgage.com. That's MikeRoseMortgage.com. I'm also on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook. If you Google me, Mike Rose Starkey Mortgage, I'm all over the place. I'll be glad to answer any questions. And a lot of people, they just want to have, they have questions. I'm not necessarily going to try to sell you a loan, but if you just need some help trying to figure out what your strategy should be, that's how I view my job. I'm a counselor. That's how I view
it. Well, I think a lot of times when you're looking for services or you look for somebody that's knowledgeable, and if they can give you information, then why not do business with that person or whatever, you know?
Yeah, so. I think that's great if I can do that as well, if I can. But I also enjoy helping people who are maybe just have questions, because it's a complicated issue, especially with everything that's been going on. People need to know what it takes. Maybe they're not ready now to buy a house. Maybe they have credit issues, but they need to have a strategy to get there. And I like to help people work towards that.
No, I can tell in your voice and your conversation the passion you have for your business. And I felt like I've learned a little bit as well, you know?
So, well, thank you.
I wish I would have known you back in the early, about 5 or 6, 10 years ago. But anyway.
I had fun back then. And
we all did, yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
mentioned earlier that the whole time in radio, I really didn't have to work that hard.
Yeah, that was Madison, yeah.
Yeah, but this is hard work. This is like the real world. I had so much fun for a while, and
then all
of a sudden, man, I was out having to dig ditches and trenches. I mean, this is like...
put up tents and stuff, whatever, right?
I didn't know the real world was like this. I mean, I lived in this radio world where we just had fun all the time.
Mike, we can talk about a food truck after the show.
I might be interested in a food truck, too. You never know. You got to diversify.
That does sound a lot more fun or whatever. Yeah, yeah. So I think we got some business dealings going on. Just remember, check with Cindy, the receptionist, on the way out. 10%. That's all we ask. Yeah. All right. So we have our final guest here this morning joining us in the studio, and our anchor man, we like to call our final guest. And Ryan, how are you doing this morning?
We're doing fantastic. How are y'all?
All right. Do you bring your friend here with you?
I don't know.
Actually, you do have your publicist.
I'm a restaurant guy. I don't come alive till 6 p.m.
That's nice. So help me with the pronunciation of your last name. Just Pernice?
Just Pernice.
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 All right. Yeah. So, so now... You have an interesting background. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, when you were up in New York at one time, because we're going to fast forward to your current business. But back in the day, 2009, you worked in New York at Gramercy Park. And tell us that story.
I did. I worked up in a restaurant called Maialino in New York. But my story starts here. I'm from Roswell. So we were not born in Roswell, but definitely raised and went to elementary, middle school, high school, all through that.
Right.
And we were sort of joking earlier in the green room about... about how do you get started in restaurants. I joke, it's like the circus. You get started in restaurants, there's really very little way out. So I grew up here and working in restaurants all through high school, and went up to New York for college, and then transitioned to New York City to work for a little while, because really, if you're interested in restaurants, that's sort of Mecca for you. So that worked out real well. That restaurant was called Maialino in the Gramercy Park Hotel, and worked for Danny Meyer, Union Square Hospitality Group, and learned a lot of lessons on not my dime. So that was great.
Yeah, and you were at Cornell?
I was, Cornell School of Hospitality Management.
Nice, nice. And so also, I was reading in your bio some information. You have some family members involved. Is your brother involved in the business as well?
Yeah, I do. I think when you own a restaurant,
don't laugh when you say that.
Your family's involved whether they want to or not. Dan came down. He was working at a restaurant called The Modern in New York, and they had won the James Beard Award for wine service. We're doing an Italian restaurant now. Of course, wine is a huge part of that. Yeah. So I thought, well, who better to help me sort of flesh out that program than my brother? And he actually brought us a Wine Spectator Award just recently, too. So
yeah, I heard about that.
That worked out well.
Congratulations on that.
Thank
yeah.
you very much.
Big time.
We still get along, too.
Older brother?
He is an older brother, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, wine takes care of that if there's any issues or whatever. Yeah, just have
no,
another glass.
No, it definitely does. When things start heating up, we just pour
grab,
some.
Grab some.
We're all right.
Pour some. Yeah, nice.
And you only have about 6 hours left since you wake up at 6 in the evening.
That's
anyway.
True. So that's half, yeah, that's half of it right there. Yeah. But also tell us about your trip to Italy, right? That was, you went to, was it 31 restaurants in 7 days?
That's it. Yeah, we went wow. kind of crazy wow. there.
Any food trucks involved or is that?
Not food trucks yet, although go talk to the guys in Italy. The streets of Rome, though, are a little narrow, so they yeah. might have some issues there. Right. But yeah, we went to Rome, Montepulciano, Bologna, and Naples, and just had a blast eating everything.
And this was a fact-finding mission, right?
It yeah. was hard. It was hard work.
But, you able know, to
we,
write
we
it off?
We do it so our guests can reap the benefits.
You wrote it off on
we did, and that was actually
expense,
the first.
Right?
That was the first trip I've ever taken like that. You vacation differently when the yeah. business is writing the bills.
All right,
that's beautiful.
It's like let's get that extra glass of wine.
Yeah, that's
why
a good,
not.
Good stuff. So, now, what was your inspiration behind your first restaurant, Table in Maine?
So I was up in New York and working at Maialino, and it was a great sort of boot camp for how to run a restaurant. But Roswell, have you guys been up to Roswell lately?
Yeah.
There's this whole restaurant revival going on up there. And remember, mm-hmm. this is my hometown, so I sort of saw the evolution of Roswell from this sleepy little town with antique shops and clock repair stores and all that was really fun. But as restaurants started to move in there, it turns into this weird little nightlife destination now. So we have this little entertainment restaurant oasis up there, and I thought, you know, if I'm going to do this, I was a young guy, thought, let's just jump on in and see if I can make something happen here.
Still probably the youngest guy in the studio here or whatever, yeah.
No, I have a beard. That's a few years.
Yeah. So, yeah, talk to us about these. You know, you have a second restaurant in development?
No, it's open.
Oh,
we're,
it is?
We're
okay,
ready
yeah.
to go. Yeah, Osteria has been open for about 8 months now. So Table in Maine just about to turn 3 years in August, and then Osteria is about 8 months.
How far apart are they in distance as far as...
5 doors up the street.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah, I joke with my guests, I'm going to get a Vespa and just bike back and forth.
A segue, but you don't want to mix that with drinking wine. So, so again, what's the inspiration behind this restaurant? Yeah, what makes it different, I guess, from Table in Maine?
Ted, my business partner and executive chef of the restaurants, we sort of sat down and we had the opportunity to work with that same developer at New Kent Capital who had helped us with our first restaurant. And so he was going to build out another restaurant. We knew it was going to be a restaurant. And the idea was, well, if someone's going to compete with me, it might as well be me. And so when we sat down, we wanted to do something that we thought could do well and that was missing on Canton Street and something that would add to the dialogue of what's going on up there. So both of my chef and I have experience in Italian. We wanted to do Italian. I am Italian. So all those things sort of led us to, well, let's give this a shot.
So this one's a little bit easier than the first one?
Absolutely not. You know, many things at the second restaurant are easier, or maybe not easier, but you sort of have your head up about them.
Yeah.
So, not easier, but some things get easier, some things get more difficult. And I tell you, I am still figuring out the whole running two restaurants thing, but by no means an expert on that.
Talk to Roy after the show, whatever. Yeah. How many did y'all have at one point or whatever for Philly Connection or
John can address that. Right now we're at 30. I think at one point we had 45 restaurants, yeah. And then when the economy went, we kind of right sized it, yeah. And got rid of some, made some decisions.
So 45. So two is just a walk in the park, mm-hmm. dude, or whatever. Yeah, yeah, you got this. Yeah.
So when the line's too long at one, do you kind of refer people down to the other one, or
you know,
how's that work?
Leverage. Yeah.
Not officially. It's weird to sort of play them off each other. But the good news is there are a lot of people who come to Osteria who haven't heard of Table in Maine, and vice versa,
wow.
despite the fact that they're right down the street. So we do a lot of, oh, you like this restaurant? That's great. Have you heard of our sister restaurant? No. Why don't you go there for dessert? And on a given night, I'll walk back and forth up and down the street, and it is a weird phenomenon to leave Osteria and see people who were eating dinner there now drinking at the bar at Table in Maine.
Wow.
So yeah. That's a pretty special thing that we like.
Also, it's a good way if you have a complaint. I really don't care for this restaurant. Well, you might want to try our competitor down the street, Table in Maine.
Yeah.
So you're not going to put the menus, one menu on, you know, the same menu on both sides.
I mean, I've got my business cards at both places, but yeah, I want to keep them telling their distinctive stories at both. But to your point... When we get the
I had a
complaint.
Point. Yeah. Greg, he said I had a point, yeah.
We'll
yeah,
have
I'm,
someone
I'm
who
all
had,
ears.
Had an experience at Table Maine that maybe something didn't go their way, so we'll say, well, let us buy you dinner at Osteria. So it's interesting to play that hand in hospitality.
Yeah.
Interesting. So compared to what you see in Atlanta, in the Atlanta vibe, in the city of Atlanta, what do you think the advantages of the Roswell geography is?
I think that we do a great job in Roswell of supporting our hometown players. And on a given night, I will know about 30% of the guests in my restaurants. And that's a really special thing to us. So the community of Roswell has done a great job of showing up and supporting what we're doing. And, you know, we tested the hypothesis of, well, what if we put a restaurant that does what we call an urban quality experience right here in Roswell? And, yeah, the prices are a little higher and the restaurant is a little bit of a different thing. But we've been blown away by the support we've seen. So I think that community feel, I'll go out on a limb and say no one does that better than Roswell.
Awesome. So 5-10 years from now, you see, three more restaurants? Or
Yikes.
Yeah, outside of Roswell.
Food trucks, apparently.
Food trucks. Exactly. Yeah.
No, I promised myself a year at Osteria before I look at what we're going to do next.
But I just came up with, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are the experts in the food business, a wine truck. Right, yeah. Just
you may be on something there.
No, it's a great idea.
It's walk up and wine.
It is. They've tried some beer trucks, but there are a lot of limitations of what you can do with that. Regulations.
Take your own product while you're operating.
Well, part of that, and the operators themselves. I guess if I was one of them, the hours might shorten.
Just make it alcohol-free beer or whatever, yeah.
Yes.
Which is pointless. But
there are too many legalities with regard to serving wine in a restaurant.
All my ideas are... I was just throwing that out there. Yeah, they're not all great, yeah.
Actually, I think Alpharetta and Roswell had some kind of a craft beer facility or...
Yeah,
they've tried
they
that with,
a beer
it, with the food trucks.
Up in Roswell.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was hugely successful the first year. They did it again for a second year this time, and it was like double what it was last year. So there's also a... business up there called Ale Yeah that specializes in craft beer.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a movement, and I bet in 5-10 years you will see something like what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And speaking of festivals, I mean, I've been to some events like the Marietta Square and some other places where they do these big outdoor events. And so you have all these food vendors going on. How does that impact or help your restaurant business? Because when there's an event like that, does it draw more people and so you win by numbers, or does it?
It certainly does.
Deter?
And the biggest positive for us from those events is that it brings new people.
Yeah,
so
okay.
it's a big party on the street, and that's a good thing. And there are food trucks and stuff there, and we'd sort of touched on the tension between food trucks and restaurants. And I think my end policy there is, it's more competition, but you can't wish that away.
Right.
Well, no, that's a really good point. If I can interrupt, that we've done that where we brought food trucks to an area, and some of the restaurants in the beginning thought it was not a good idea, but that they saw the additional traffic of people that came there and didn't even know that their restaurant was there until they came to that event.
Well, that's a good point, because I saw kind of the one side to that perspective, but the other side is, like you mentioned, Ryan, is that it brings new people that may not have been to downtown Roswell before.
Right.
Let's go to a festival, there's some music, and then maybe as things are winding down, they come over to have a drink or whatever, or hang out or dessert. So
tell us about your team. Told us about your brother being a part of it, but how do you build that all-star team and do they swap between restaurants sometimes? You know, like the Buckhead group, there's some servers are here or there sometimes.
We don't do too much of that. I like the restaurants telling their own distinctive separate stories. But, man, when you're building two restaurants, the one lesson I have learned is that you cannot do that if you don't have a rock-solid team to help you.
Yeah.
And we've got a manager, to use a case in point. Cindy Miller's been with me since the very first day we opened Table in Maine. The only reason we could do the second restaurant is because she is able to run Table in Maine exactly as I would do it. And, you know, guests go in there. They know her now. They feel as nourished by her as they did by me. And that's been huge.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of team, if you want to give any shout-outs, do they still say shout-outs anymore?
I think the kids do, yeah.
Okay, the kids do.
The kids are still saying that.
They're still saying it,
yeah.
So who else on the team you want to give some props to?
Mick Kimberly, who started with us as a sous chef, is now our pastry chef. She just got a shout-out.
There it is. So the kids,
shout out, I'm a kid, in the Atlanta, as one of the pastry chefs in Atlanta to watch. Alex is our sous chef at Osteria. Laura, we just won Best Critics' Choice for our dish at the Attack of the Killer Tomato Festival. And that was a real team effort by our new sous chef, Jeremiah Dennis.
Where was
Woody
that?
Back.
The
Goat Farm, I think it was. It was JCT Kitchens.
I heard about that.
Ford Fry, you must have heard of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was his event. We were psyched about that. And as I mentioned, that was like a full team effort. Everybody had a hand in that dish. And Ted Leahy plated it, Mickey was there. Jeremiah Dennis, new sous chef, did amazing. And Woody Back, our sous chef at Table in Maine, wrote the recipe. It was fantastic.
Awesome. I don't know. I'm wondering why we're here in Georgia, the peach trade. Why don't we do a peach fight, you know, thing or whatever? Yeah.
I think you're onto something there. You have a lot of good ideas on this show. Right.
Yeah, exactly. I just feel inspired by the crowd. Although you do, it's tomatoes probably more logical once you get hit with a peach pit or whatever. Yeah,
they do that. There's a town in, I think, Spain or Italy that has, I kid you not, YouTube this, there are armored trucks that roll through the town, and it's to mimic this medieval siege that they had, you know, 20 years ago, whatever. Yeah. And they throw tomatoes at that's the whole thing.
Yeah, well, I like the tomato idea, but yeah, some other fruits or vegetables
just
may not be a good idea.
Zucchinis. It's got to be organic. Just one day, just start throwing peaches.
There you go. Exactly. We got some great ideas here this morning. So we get just a couple more minutes before we wrap up, but tell us again, Ryan, what's the best way for our listeners to get back in touch with and find out about y'all's restaurants?
The best way to get in touch with me is to come into the restaurants of Cannes Street. Nice. Table in Maine, 03 Matona. I am on Twitter at Ryan Pernice, and you can reach me any day. I'll be in the restaurant, so come see me there.
After 10 o'clock or 6?
Yeah, 6 o'clock, and then I'll be a little more lively.
Okay, nice. So now Madison brought us Kind Bars. So, guys, are we all free dinners at your restaurants? Whatever. He's like, no, Ryan's got to go all of a sudden.
All right.
At the door, yeah.
No, he got quiet all of a sudden.
He got really quiet, right? Yeah. Food trucks for everybody, yeah.
That's right. We'll bring one right to your door.
Nice. So any closing comments? Obviously some synergy with the folks in the food business here. So did y'all enjoy the show? And
see, I had a blast.
Yeah, great information.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I enjoy eating. I learned something.
Right, absolutely, yeah. So, it was another great episode of Buckhead Business Radio X, and we'll see you guys next week. And Craig, what are your any closing thoughts here?
Well, excuse me. I'm just thinking about all the food. And then, of course, I have to think about what I do after I eat all that food. And so, Miss Madison, see you on the trail soon.
So it's it's basically healthy, wealthy, and wise.
And then buy a house. You know what? You can buy a house on the Beltline.
On the Beltline.
They have a lot of houses that they're putting
up really there. Really nice houses down there. Good location.
Yeah. All right, y'all. We'll see you next time on next episode of Buckhead Business Radio X. Rich Casso signing out, along with Craig Williams joining us in the studio. See you next time.